It's so fun to celebrate Christmas traditions all over the place. And, you know, the second island of Italy after Sicily is Sardinia. It's about 100 miles off the coast. It's about the size of Vermont, and it has its own unique traditions and pride. And we're joined now by Jeff Biggers. He's written a book called In Sardinia, An Unexpected Journey in Italy. And Jeff's going to share a little bit about Christmas in Sardinia. Merry Christmas, Jeff.
Merry Christmas. Buon Natale.
Yeah, that's right. Buon Natale. Tell us, you've had a few Christmases in Sardinia. How is it distinct from Christmases on what the Sardinians call the mainland back in the rest of Italy?
Sure. You know, and I guess I should probably get it right. They call it Sapeskijeda, you know, which is similar to Buon Natale, the good birth. But of course, Sardinians have their own language, you know, apart from Italian. They have 5 different variants and over 60 dialects. So,
and with each dialect, probably a different Christmas tradition. So what are your memories of Christmas on Sardinia?
Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind, of course, are the sweets. And this is this beautiful sweet bread. It's called pane sabba. Of course, pane, of course, is bread, sabba. This sweet bread, it's made with raisins and nuts and even wine. And it's really sat out for many days.
Sort of a Sardinian panettone.
Exactly. And it's really very important in each village that has their different type of sweet bread. On top of that, of course, something that you find year-round, but especially during Christmas, are these little kind of raisin cookies, I would call them. They're called papasinas in Sardinian, or papasini in Italian. And that basically says raisin cookies. And that's also made with nuts and walnuts and whatnot. And they cut them into like diamond shapes, and the cookies are baked until they're brown, and they put icing on them. And those are very much all over during the Christmas time.
So tell us about Christmas Eve and who might be there, and what might the schedule for the evening be?
So like anything in Sardinia, the Christmas tradition varies, of course, from region to region. But I think the focal point that I found in all these years was the hearth, the fireplace, as this central meeting place for the family. Even if you have modern day apartments, the idea of recreating the fireplace. As we've talked before, Rick, Sardinia really is a pastoral society, or came out of largely shepherds in many of the areas.
There's more sheep than people on the island, I believe.
Exactly. Almost like New Zealand in that sense. And so the idea of huddling around the fireplace and eating and telling stories and playing games and having the Yule log that would burn all night was really a very important part of the traditional Christmas that you'd find in rural Sardinia.
Jeff, can you tell me a little more about the Yule log on Sardinia?
The Yule log, which is called the Trancu, would be burned, of course, throughout the Christmas period, starting on Christmas Eve. And they would often keep that fire burning until January 6th, which for many in the Catholic cultures would be the arrival of the kings. And so that period, of course, during Christmas was very important for the Sardinian pastoral communities.
Mm. Now, you had your kids there. What are some warm family memories that you can remember when your kids were little and you were in Sardinia?
Sure. So we were in Alghero, which is a city on the northwest. And of course, it has much more of an influence of the Spanish and Catalan. In fact, a quarter of the people still speak the Catalan language. So on Christmas Eve, we had a Christmas celebration I'll never forget. We were with a family who was bringing out plate after plate. They actually created a beautiful plate, botarga, which is the wonderful mullet or tuna that's used as a condiment for pasta, kind of this golden, delicious pasta that comes from the southwestern part of Sardinia. And then we went to the cathedral. And there, Rick, I was kind of anticipating a dark, somber Christmas. But in fact, it was just the opposite. It was this mix of the ancient with the modern. The medieval streets, as we were walking there, they were lined with these lamps that had been decorated with fabric by a local designer. His name is Antonio Maras, and he has become since one of Italy's most famous designers. And then inside the mass at the cathedral, there were the traditional choirs, but then suddenly arrives one of the most important jazz icons of Italy. His name is Paolo Fresu, who was raised as the son of a shepherd and has gone on to become really the jazz heir to Miles Davis. He's really one of the most important trumpet players in Italy and Europe and the world today.
And his family is Sardinian.
Sardinian, and he's very much connected to Alghero because of his wife. And this beautiful mix between the ancient and the modern of having a traditional mass with the traditional choirs, with a modern jazz on trumpet.
Oh, that must have been great.
It really captured, I think, what Sardinia is to me, which is this wellspring of culture that has pulled from so many different cultures from around the world and then made them their own. And of course, at midnight, at the stroke of midnight, the bells start ringing and they begin what they call the Mass of the Rooster. That really, I think, captures very much the traditions that they want to carry on. And then people eventually make it back to their homes, play games. There was a spinning top game that the kids played with the local kids. It was really a very exciting period. And of course, then the next day on Christmas Day itself, you had a wonderful feast.
Jeff Biggers, thanks so much for taking us to Sardinia for Christmas. Thanks for writing your book, In Sardinia, An Unexpected Journey in Italy. And once again, could you remind us how to wish our friends and loved ones Merry Christmas in the Sardinian language?
Sure. So Christmas in Sardinia, we would say Sa Pasquageda.
And Sa Pasquageda to you, Jeff.
Well, thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
In his book, In Sardinia, Jeff Biggers explains how the island works as something of an open-air museum with monuments that date back to the Bronze Age. His website is jeffbiggers.com. It doesn't need to be cold outside to make it a Merry Christmas. Nikki Solano joins us now from what seems like the happiest country in Central America, Costa Rica. It's where she met her husband, Ricky, more than 15 years ago and settled in.
Merry Christmas, Rick. Thanks so much for having me.
So you've had a few Christmases in Costa Rica. What's it like?
It's a bit chaotic. So my husband's family is quite large, and they all like to get together over the holidays. So we usually have quite a few parties to bounce around to throughout his different aunts' houses. And there's a lot of fun going on. There's a lot of karaoke being sung. There's a lot of great food being shared, some dancing going on, and of course, enjoying traditional Christmas tamales.
Oh, really? So there's lots of good food, and I know Costa Ricans are really into quality time with the family. Traditionally, is it a Catholic country?
It is. Yep. So Roman Catholicism is the primary religion in Costa Rica.
So if people are going to church, do they go to a midnight mass, or how does that work?
Yeah, sometimes. It depends on the schedule. They have multiple masses, so depending on, you know, when they're available, a lot of Ticos, so Costa Ricans, will travel over the holidays too, so it kind of depends, you know, on their schedule. Usually Christmas Eve is celebrated more than Christmas Day, so you'll traditionally see a lot of people go to church on Christmas Eve as opposed to, say, on the 25th.
And then the 25th would be a family day. Would the kids open up presents like we do in the United States?
Yeah, so in my husband's family, we tend to do them around midnight on Christmas Eve. So we will, say, go to church or have a big party at the house on the 24th, wait until it's late, gather around the Christmas tree. They decorate a traditional Christmas tree, and we'll open the gifts and then go to bed late and wake up and kind of just relax and hang out with family and chat on the 25th.
Because, you know, Santa Claus can have a Pura Vida approach to the holidays, I would suppose.
That's right.
So the Pura Vida, we should mention Costa Rica, it's almost a religion. It's just don't worry, be happy.
That's right. It's a really relaxed attitude, a really relaxed way to approach life, about enjoying kind of downtime, special moments with family and friends. And Christmas is a great time to embody the Pura Vida way.
I was in El Salvador for the holidays once, and I almost lost my eyes with a bottle rocket that came shooting right at me, and there's like fireworks going off everywhere. And I've been in India and in Sri Lanka during the holidays, and it's the same thing. Are there a lot of fireworks in Costa Rica over Christmas and New Year's?
A ton. Yep. You'll hear, we call them bombas. You'll hear them all the time, even in the daytime sometimes. Yep. You'll hear them right throughout the holidays.
It's so funny to me that where I live, I don't associate, you know, explosions with Christmas, but it's a big deal in much of the world. And what's a song that Costa Ricans, Ticos, like to sing at Christmas time?
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. That shouldn't surprise
me. Of
course.
And repeat.
You must on repeat. I bet you hear that a lot. And what about New Year's Eve? How does that work in Costa Rica?
So New Year's Eve isn't traditionally as big as, say, Christmas Eve, but the family will still get together and have a good meal. They'll stay up late, lots of bombas, so lots of fireworks again.
Any leftover fireworks from Christmas, they'll blow them up on New Year's Eve, I suppose.
That's right. I mean, a lot of people work in tourism too, and tourism continues throughout the holidays. So you'll have people working on Christmas Eve, and they'll have to get up early and work on Christmas Day. So,
Now that's interesting, because a good percent of the Costa Rican economy does involve tourism, and a lot of people are down there, so they're working.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, government businesses obviously will close, but tourism doesn't stop 365 days a year. So New Year's is pretty relaxed. It's not, you know, maybe done up as much as, say, New York does it up, but it's still a good time.
Okay. I'm going to test you. You've been married into the Costa Rican culture for 15 years. How's your Spanish? Can you tell me Merry Christmas and Happy New Year in Spanish, please?
Rick, Feliz Navidad y Feliz Año Nuevo. Espero que todo está muy bien por usted.
Nice. Well, pura vida to you too. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
Nikki Solano writes the Moon Costa Rica guidebooks. She and her husband, Ricky, lead tours and offer trip planning and safety tips at CostaRicaTravelBlog.com. The Christmas season starts early in the Netherlands, even before the canals get a chance to freeze up. Dennis Herritz leads walking tours of Amsterdam plus bike and boat excursions at LoveMyCityTours.com. He joins us now on Travel with Rick Steves for a look at the colorful variety of holiday traditions the Dutch are enjoying this time of year.
Thank you for having me.
So, Dennis, if we're talking about the winter holiday season, what would you say is the day that kicks it off for the Dutch people?
The day that really kicks it off is the beginning of December. On the 5th of December, we celebrate the birthday of what we call Sinterklaas. He's a person that brings presents to the children, but he already arrives 2 weeks before that time, which means all the kids are already very excited. And before that time, you can actually put your shoe in front of the chitney, and we sing songs and put little presents in there and drawings for him. And this is all to, you know, make sure that he likes us, because the parents would always tell us, if you didn't behave this year, then Sinterklaas will take you back to his house. And he actually comes from Spain. It's a very old tradition. Nowadays, maybe I want to be taken to Spain, but at that time, as a child, you don't.
That would be a threat. So this is one of those things that so many cultures have, where they have the parents use this Santa Claus or Sinterklaas, in the case of the Dutch, to entice or threaten the children to be good children, not to be naughty, but to be nice.
Yes. And then, of course, you are overloaded with presents. So it's sort of the same, but then instead of the stockings, it's a shoe. And Sinterklaas, he drives a horse, a white horse. So some people even leave a carrot in that shoe for the horse. But it's mostly to make sure he gets your wish list. I guess that's why the shoes are there.
Okay. And what's a typical kind of gift that children might get historically in their shoe?
Well, first of all, candy. We have these special things called pepernoten, pepernuts translated, but maybe not really correctly, but it's just a lot of candy involved. And then basically any kind of presents, but not too big. It's all about small
little
presents.
Stuff that'll fit in a stocking or a shoe.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Does Sinterklaas have a little sidekick, a guy named Swart Piet?
Yes, he does. Yeah. Yeah, he has many sidekicks just to help him out, because if he doesn't have any sidekicks, he cannot deliver all these presents on the same day to all kids, of course. So he needs help there.
It's like Santa Claus has his elves.
Exactly.
Now, Swart Piet is a North African, and traditionally he's essentially in blackface.
It's one of the biggest topics at the moment. It also every year divides my country. A lot of people want black Piets to become rainbow Piets, so all colored, like rainbow.
Now, that's an interesting solution. Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they are offended by it. And it's also a thing. It's not like the 21st century anymore, if you ask me. But the problem is that there's quite a lot of people, mostly in the countryside, that say, you know, it's a tradition and, you know, why should we change it? But in this period where we are living, it's quite easy to change it. You know, it's all a fairy tale anyway. And I think for the kids, it doesn't matter. It's more like an adult thing, but it very much divides my country every year. But there's more and more rainbow Piets. So I would say, like with a lot of those things, give it another 5 or 10 years and then it's just all colorful rainbow Piets.
Yeah. After this Sinterklaas Day, December 5th and 6th, that's St. Nicholas Day, I understand you don't put up your Christmas tree until after Sinterklaas. In the Netherlands, how do you decorate your tree?
A lot of Christmas balls, a lot of candy, and a lot of lights.
Okay.
We have now also started to decorate our houses from the outside. I think we've seen that from the United States of America, which means when I was a child, nobody did that. But then we, you know, with the internet now, we see all these houses being completely turned into these colorful with reindeers on the rooftop. And now a lot of people started doing that as well. But mostly it was indoor decoration. We actually have two Christmas days, the first and the second Christmas day. The first is December 25 and the second is December 26.
Why two and what's the difference?
Well, honestly, there's actually no difference. The 2 days is all about getting together with your family. I would say with the ones you love. I guess it's also the Dutch, our way of living. If we get a chance, we try to celebrate on 2 days instead of one.
Nice. How do you say Merry Christmas in Dutch?
Gelukkig Kerstfeest.
Wow. Say that again.
Gelukkig Kerstfeest.
That's the most difficult to say Merry Christmas that I've ever encountered in the European languages. Now is a whole different time, but when you were a little child, what are some of your memories of Christmas in the Netherlands?
Well, first of all, snow. At that time, Christmas would always be white. There would always be quite a lot of snow. These last 5 years, because of the climate changing so rapidly, we actually haven't seen snow at all anymore.
Ah, and when you were a child, there was more frozen canals. And I know that you can't schedule a holiday for skating on the canals, but when the canals do freeze, it's sort of an impromptu holiday in the Netherlands.
Yes, it has changed a bit, but at that time, and still, every Dutch person has ice skates at home. So as soon as there was ice, this was what we all would love to do. You would jump on your racing bike, you bind your ice skates around the neck. Mom would probably make a hot chocolate, pea soup, and some caramel waffles. And then you would go out into the countryside and ice skate for as long as you could.
Yeah. That sounds so great, and it's a shame that that's really not happening anymore because of climate change. But when a lake does freeze over, I would imagine the Dutch jump at an opportunity to rekindle that tradition.
We even have ice masters throughout the entire country that check the thickness of the ice, and when the ice masters give the green light, then there's an official yes on national television that says, okay, Dutchies, the ice is thick enough, and you can actually go out onto the ice. And this job is a very important one, you know. If you're the yeah. ice master of your area, people really look up to you, you know. It's like a big thing. So we have official ice masters that check the thickness of the ice just to make sure it's safe for us to actually go onto the ice.
Well, here's to the ice masters. I hope they can be busy in the next year and hope for more cold enough weather to be able to skate on those beautiful canals. Dennis, thank you very much for sharing with us your traditions during the holidays. And I would like to wish you Vrolijk Kerstfeest. How do you say that again?
Yeah, Vrolijk Kerstfeest.
Vrolijk Kerstfeest. Merry Christmas, Dennis, and
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton,
Donna Bardsley,
and Casimiral Hall.
Website uploads are by Sherry Quirt and Andrew Wakeling.
Promotion support comes from Sheila Gerzoff, and our theme music is by Jerry Frank.
You'll find more at ricksteves.com/radio.
Wishing you warm and healthy holidays
from all of us at Travel with Rick Steves.